Good morning,
God
everyone.
God is good?
All the time.
And all the time?
God is good.
Man, well, it just brings me great pleasure once again to be able to welcome everybody to another Sunday service here at New Life. My name is Eric, and this is my wonderful wife, Diane.
Good morning, everyone, and good morning to everyone online, everyone here in the sanctuary, and everyone on the patio. I hope you're staying warm. It's sweater weather. Oh my gosh, again, so stay warm out there. If you are new this morning, thank you for coming, and after the service, go out to one of the Connection Central booths and speak to one of our wonderful people out there. We have a gift for you. So if you're new, please head out there after the service.
Yeah, we'd really love to get to know you personally. And also, as a matter of fact, we're also having a Connections Fair. So if you're thinking about getting into a ministry, you know, or maybe extending, you know, doing an additional ministry, you could go right out here to the lobby and you can find more ways to get connected here at New Life. It's just it's a great place. It's a great time. We love our church and we love being connected as well.
Yes. And this Wednesday is what is called Last Wednesday, and there's a Last Wednesday class in the Life Center, and it's a really great discussion of how God has wired you and equipped you and how God might want to use those unique parts of yourself to help bless others and change the world and change the community. So check the bulletin for information on when that starts. That's this Wednesday.
Amen to that. And, you know, guys, if you're able and we're, you know, we please stand and get ready for worship. And I encourage everybody, while we're worshiping, maybe we can invite the Holy Spirit to move in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Good morning, family. How are you? Good. Amen. Well, I just want to encourage us this morning as we enter into worship to come into this space this morning with expectation. There's something about hunger that the Lord loves. When we come to before Him in hunger, He loves to come and pour out and fill that space in us. And I was thinking this morning, you know, it's so easy to come into this space and be present, but actually not be engaged from a heart level. And I was laying in my bed last night. Does the Lord speak to anybody through pictures? Sometimes I was having one of those pictures last night, and I was thinking about, like, at work we have these towels, so just track with me. And it's so frustrating because we put it underneath the water, and a towel is supposed to absorb things, right? But it's like there's something in it, and the water just spills right off. Like, it's so frustrating, it doesn't actually absorb the water. And I felt like, wow, that's like such a picture of how our relationship with the Lord can be like. We can come into this space, and instead of having a heart that's soft and ready to receive from the Lord, He's pouring out, but we're actually not receiving everything that He has for us this morning. So I want to encourage us this morning, as we worship, to come to the Lord with an expectant, absorbent, hungry heart, and I guarantee He will meet you this morning. And at the same time, let's pour out on Him because He's deserving and He's worthy. So Jesus, we thank You for this morning. Holy Spirit, we invite You. Would You rest on us this morning? We come before You in hunger, and we come before You and ask that You would meet us. In Jesus' name.
As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on.
Sing it out.
As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. Come down, Spirit, when You move, You make my heart. Heaven on earth. make it a prayer this morning. Sing, Holy Spirit, come rest on us. You're all we want. You're all we want. Oh. God, we believe it. We believe it, God. We believe you have so much for us. We just open up our hearts this morning to receive. We just say that you're better than anything, God. We love you, Holy Spirit.
Saints join in one song, and all the streams flow as one river to wash away our brokenness. And here we see, that God's moving. A time of jubilee is coming when young and old return to Jesus.
Fling wide.
So fling wide you heavenly gates, prepare the way of the risen Lord.
Fling wide the gates. Come on.
To open up the doors and let the music play. Let the streets resound. It's the songs that bring your hope, and the songs that bring your joy. Dancers who dance upon injustice.
We're gonna dance upon injustice. Let the river flow. Let the river.
It's a And so we say God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble, so we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam, let the mountains tremble as the waters surge, because a river brings joy to the city of our God, the sacred home of the Most High. God dwells in that city, and it cannot be destroyed. From the very break of day, God will protect it. The nations are in chaos, and their kingdoms crumble. God's voice thunders, and the earth melts. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. So lift your hands, church, if you're willing and able. Let's just say, Jesus, you are our fortress in times of trouble. You are our ever-present help. And so we surrender to you. We declare you Lord of all. And so whatever may come our way today and this coming week, we say that it is well with our soul. Jesus, we pray that songs would just stream into our community from this place. That what happens around the table and in this temple space would just overflow into the streets. Jesus, equip us as your people to do good things, to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. So Jesus, we want to dance upon injustice. Help us, Jesus, we pray. And all God's people said, amen, amen.
You guys can have a quick seat. That was a fun heaven party. I saw you guys moving out here. Good job. That song, man, that song brings back some nostalgia. That was one of like the first songs I feel like I learned when I became a Christian. And man, what some beautiful words. Yes. Well, we're going to continue in that spirit of worship right now, saying thanks to God. Thanks for the ways that he is moving in our own personal lives and in our community. So I'd like to invite our ushers forward to receive our offering today. This really, truly is an extension of our worship, a way that we say, God, you have first place in our heart, as Pastor Dave spoke on last week, that God has the first place in our heart. And we do that by honoring him through our finances, and not only with our finances, but also our time. It is just such a privilege to be a part of a church that so sacrificially gives of their time and their talents to serve God through our community and here at New Life. We had our Fully Alive rally this past Monday, and it was just such an encouragement to my heart to see hundreds of you guys come out and say, yes, we're here. Let's serve the Lord together and be a part of what he is doing here on the Central Coast. So thank you to those of you who serve in a ministry. It's not too late. Jump in. We'd love to have you be a part of it. As the Cabrera said earlier, there is a connection fair, so not just ministries, but all of our Bible studies and classes and stuff that are starting up this fall. So we hope that you would jump in and get connected here at New Life, because we truly are a family and we want you to be a part of it, because God truly is moving here and it is just such a blessing to be a part of it. But I do have some sort of bittersweet news to share with you. If you haven't already heard, our beloved James Way Band, who has done the First Friday concerts for 15 and a half years, they have been serving here on the Central Coast. They have decided that it's time to retire First Friday. So I know, right? But God has amazing things planned for each one of them in that group. So this coming Friday, September 2nd, will be the farewell concert of First Friday. So if you are new to the area, you're new to New Life, you might not know, but First Friday and the James Way Band has been just a pillar in our community for the last 15 and a half years. They've done a concert every month, a country gospel concert every month, with a church service attached to it for many years. Because of First Friday, I bet there's a lot of people in here that came back to church because of country gospel music. Yeah, I can see some hands in here. Yes, I've heard people who met their spouses there. So, you know, God has truly used the James Way Band over the last 15 and a half years. So we really want to send them out with love and encouragement. So we hope that you all will come out this Friday. Also today at 3:00, I think they're playing the Stone Soup Festival in Grover Beach. So you can also come out to that. I also thought it would would be really cool if you guys wanted to maybe share some stories or just some notes of encouragement to Greg and the band. You could write them a card, you could drop it off at the church office or send it here, and we'll make sure that they get them, because we would just love for them to know all of the ways that God used them throughout throughout their ministry over the last 15 and a half years. So if you have a story or just would like to encourage them, we know that God has amazing things planned for the next season, because seasons come and seasons go, but God stays the same, right? And so he's going to be with them. We know that he is going to continue to use them in their ministry no matter what they do. So if you think about it this week, be sure to pray for them and also come out to First Friday this week. And so this service, as you can tell, is a little different than our normal Sunday services. This is Celebration Sunday, and we already have celebrated. That's already been a party this morning, right? And so we're going to continue to celebrate, and today we get to do child dedications. And so I'd like to invite our families up that are dedicating children. This is one of my very favorite things that we do, not only because the babies are so cute, but it really is a showcase of what the church is. It is family coming around each other to cheer each other on, to encourage each other, because, you know, it does take a village. Like, we are in this together. Parenting is not for the faint of heart. And so we get to be, as a church community together, get to come alongside these beautiful families, pray for them, encourage them, build them up when they get tired. And so I just love child dedications. Welcome. Why don't you guys give them a hand?
Perfect.
Thank you, guys. This is one of our favorites when we get to come dedicate the new babies. Joanna and I get to go visit them during the week to visit new babies and pray over them. But when you're ready to dedicate, that's very exciting. We get to bring the whole church on our baby visit with us. So we're going to start. I'm just going to introduce you guys really quick, and then Pastor Nick is going to pray over you. So first, we have little Emma here. Are you going to say hi? Yes, everyone wave to Emma. She's still waking up. She's looking like, what are you going to do, Miss Dana? This is the Roth family, David, Kate, and Levi. I was like, he's here to support. He's very excited about being on stage. And you guys brought family with you, right? I was like, you guys can help support from up there. Thank you guys for loving on them. Next, we have Kathy Salisbury with Austin and Sarah and baby Eleanor. I was like, I'm going to get out of the way so you can see her. Eleanor there. And then we have the Dastic family. Elijah brought little brother Aiden. And then we got Jeremy in India. So we're very excited to celebrate. If you guys can celebrate with me really fast.
I don't want to make it like a The Price is Right game show, but
I know.
Tell them what they've got.
I always
feel like I'm curious. I'm like, what are the families receiving from the church?
Yes,
so what are we
They get
giving?
Their first Bible. So we get a first Bible, and we have a little card that says, welcome to our New Life family.
That's so good. I still remember my first Read With Me Bible that I was given when I was dedicated here at New Life, and it's a really precious treasure. I actually used it in seminary a few times. They had us use it. So maybe your kids will use it in seminary someday, or at aeronautical engineering school, something like that. That'd be awesome. But we want to pray for you guys as a church. I'm going to pray for each child individually just to let you guys know kind of what we're doing. We're celebrating this morning baptisms, and we're celebrating dedications. Why don't we as a church do baptisms? Well, we want to pray into the reality that one day, by the grace of God, these children would make the decision to come to get baptized, come to the water themselves, right? It's awesome that a family could say, yeah, let's baptize our kid, but it's even more of a step of faith to say, we want to dedicate our child so that they have the free will to make that decision one day. And so this morning, what we're doing is we're asking you to partner with our congregation. And congregation, we're asking you to partner with these families. Get a good look at them. Try to remember their names. Remember these kids' names. They'll be on the screen as we go over each one of them individually. But as you see them, would you encourage them? When you see them around at church events or in the community, as they grow up and they play Little League soccer, they're playing T-ball, would you see the family and would you say, we encourage you. How can I be of support? How can I pray for you? What do you need from us? That's what we're all here for. We're here to be a family. Amen? Amen. So thank you for bringing your kids. This is what's really beautiful and important. I'll come behind each one of you so as not to scare the kids. I'll let you hold your son. And we're going to pray over Aiden. Congregation, this is our job first. We're going to extend a hand to Aiden, and we're going to pray over him right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this boy, and we thank you for the man that he will become. Jesus, you love the little children, and you ask them to come to you. And so, God, we just ask that Aiden would follow you all the days of his life. Would he know you at a young age? Would he be faithful to the calling that you've put on his life? God, would you give him dreams and visions of the person that you have intended him to become? And God, with his free will, I just pray that he would choose to follow you, to say yes to you and no to the things of the world, and to be a leader among people, God. Help him to grow strong. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Awesome. Okay, and here is Eleanor, and we're going to pray over her. She's so sweet. Yes, Heavenly Father. Oh, she's smiling up here right now. Okay, let's all extend a hand for Eleanor. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this sweet girl. God, we thank you that you've made her in your image, Lord Jesus, and that she, God, is going to live into the reality that you've called her to, which is grace and peace and joy. I pray for strength, God. When the world is going one way, I pray that Eleanor would say, I'm going the other. God, when the world would say, this is the path, God, I pray that she would realize that she's walking in your path and in your truth. Jesus, I pray that you would give her wisdom and courage to be the woman that you've called her to be. And would you always instill in her a spirit of joy? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Awesome. And here is Emma. Hi, Emma. You're so precious. Hi. You can look out there. You don't have to look at me. I'm kind of scaring you a little bit. Perfect. We're going to pray over Emma. Congregation, let's extend our hands. Lord Jesus. Oh, she's reaching for her father. God, in the same way that Emma's reaching out for her dad, I pray that she would reach out for you as well. God, would she always seek your heart? Would she always seek to please you above all else, to put you first? I pray over her too, God, that she would know you at a young age. Lord Jesus, that she would have the ability to say that her faith is in Jesus Christ. And God, I just ask too, just for an anointing of Holy Spirit to fall upon her. God, would she prophesy in Jesus' name? Would she be a leader for the next generation? God, and would she have assurance knowing whose she is and knowing her self-worth as she grows up because she's a child of the one true King? I just pray that she wouldn't settle for anything else. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you, families. And now we're gonna stay up here. I'm gonna lead the congregation through this last part. Congregation, it's our job now. We're dedicating, we're doing this thing. And so we wrote a liturgy together. And so this is for the families. Check it out, dude, there's water there. It's careful though. I am CPR certified, I'm a lifeguard kind of, but don't wanna do that this morning. So congregation, could we stand together? And we're going to speak this over the families. I'll read the leader part, we read the people part. And families, if you could just encourage one another as well, read it along. You're not reading it for your child, but you're reading it for everybody else's child, okay? We are grateful that our God said, let the little children come to me. We rejoice in the great love of the Lord our God, who took on flesh and welcomed all to come and see. As a congregation, we acknowledge these families and these children as members of our fellowship. May we show love to this family. We will pray, encourage, and advocate for their children. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, surround these little ones all of their days. Go before them and make a way for them to choose you and to put you first. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. You guys may exit the platform. Thank you. Let's give them a round of applause. You may be seated. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time of dedication. As we continue in our celebration this morning, God, we look forward to baptisms. Lord, I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would move in the hearts of people right now, God. This morning, Lord Jesus, we remember our baptism. For those of us who have been baptized, God, we remember our baptism. Help us to remember every little detail. And if we can't remember every little detail, God, I just pray that we would remember the why behind our baptism. It's because we love you. And we want to make a public proclamation of faith to say that you are our King. And we will follow you. So Jesus, we look forward to baptism. We thank you for dedication. We worship you now in Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's continue in our time of worship. You may be seated.
trust him in his presence daily. Jesus, that's our prayer this morning. In light of all the things that we're celebrating this morning about newness and dedication, Lord, let us not forget that it is a daily thing to come before you to say, Jesus, I surrender all. And so that's the posture that we take this morning. Lord, as we continue this morning, would you speak to our hearts? Would you remind us, Jesus, that you are the one true living God? That salvation and being fully alive happens through no other one or no other thing but you. We love you. We bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, New Life. This morning, Pastor Nick is going to bring his very first sermon to our congregation. I'm excited for you to be able to hear a word of the Lord through Pastor Nick. Pastor Nick always thinks about the word deeply and reflects on it in intentional ways. And so take out your notebooks, your phone, get your pen and pencil ready, and be ready to hear God's word from Colossians chapter 2. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that can come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world, rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life, because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead.
Amen. Amen. Well, we will continue in our worship this morning. Let's stand together as we read the beginning portion of Colossians 2. In the same way that we worship with song, we get to worship when we read the scripture together, just as they did back in Jesus' day. So this is Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. I want you to know how much I have agonized for you in the church in Laodicea and for many other believers who have never met me personally. I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. In him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I am telling you this so no one will deceive you with well-crafted arguments. For though I am far away from you, my heart is with you. And I rejoice that you are living as you should and that your faith in Christ is strong. Heavenly Father, this morning we come to you. We're seeking wisdom and we're seeking knowledge. Oh Lord, we know we cannot find these things in the world, but only in you. And so God, may we be obedient to that reality. May we seek the truth found in Jesus Christ. It's in your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. What is the context of the scripture we just read? If you were here last week, you can recall Pastor Dave's sermon, but we're just picking it up with a quick reminder. Paul was speaking to a church that he had never visited, right? He's in prison. Most of his prison addresses come to churches he's visited or people he's visited before. But here, Epaphras is a man who came to Paul, visited him, and he said, "Hey, I've been doing some church work with these people in Colossae, and I really would like to ask you to write a letter of encouragement to them." And so for any of you who write letters of encouragement on our encouragement team, we have encouragement cards. Those have spoken to my heart. I've heard testimony after testimony of how they've spoken to other cards. Paul here is doing what you guys are doing. You're doing what Paul's doing, writing letters of encouragement. It's a beautiful and important thing. If that's all you can do, don't think that it's just an all-you-can-do sort of a thing. It's really, really important. It builds one another up in the faith. So thank you for that. Paul is announcing in his encouragement the supremacy of Christ, insisting that spiritual growth and ethical living come from and only from Jesus Christ. He's combating false teaching that has been presented to the Colossian church, and that's what his friend Epaphras is doing. Paul, these people might listen to you more than they're listening to me. Can you give them a little words of wisdom? And Paul's like, yeah, I got you. Sometimes we need help from brothers and sisters in the faith. So as we think about false teaching and its function today, I couldn't help but draw a parallel to news headlines that circulate within our culture on Twitter, on news channels, on all the different types of media, social media, right? So here are those parallels. The function of false teaching seems to be indoctrinate consumers toward their demise. The function of catchy news headlines might be inform consumers of their demise in the same way. Just this last month, here are some news headlines that were communicated to our world. What is their function? We need to be asking. Drug overdoses are at an all-time high. Corruption reigns. Burn the entire system to the ground. Midterm elections will determine our future. War is inevitable. And as we know all too well, war is happening. And this is the most upsetting one, I think, to me. The next generation will lead the world to its demise. These are miserable headlines. And we ask the question, but don't we serve a sovereign God? Indeed, we do. So we do. And we need to go back to the scriptures to remind ourselves of God's sovereignty and of Christ's wisdom. And we can't look at the headlines. We can't look at Twitter. We can't be informed by the world to go back to realizing our God is sovereign. We need to look at Christ, who is wisdom. See, the passage we just read says, I want them, this is Paul talking, to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. In him lie hidden all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So God is no longer thought to be thought of as invisible, as we were reminded last week. The mystery is being revealed through Christ, but that doesn't mean we stop seeking. May we never stop seeking. Just because the mystery has been revealed, don't stop seeking. And don't get frustrated and make it more complicated than it is. Paul makes it clear, in Christ lie hidden the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so how many of you were here when we went over the Proverbs series, when we were introduced to Lady Wisdom? It was November. I was looking back in the archives. I was like, what did Pastor David preach on when we were discussing Lady Wisdom? Proverbs 8, 1 through 11, we hear a poem from this character named Lady Wisdom. And as Lady Wisdom speaks to the world, speaks to us today, I'm going to read this passage. I want you to think about Jesus speaking these words in the context of Paul saying, Christ is all wisdom and knowledge. Hear the words of the Lord from Proverbs. Listen as wisdom calls out. Hear as understanding raises her voice. On the hilltop along the road, she takes her stand at the crossroads. By the gates at the entrance to the town, on the road leading in, she cries aloud, I call to you, to all of you, I raise my voice to all people. You simple people use good judgment, and you foolish people show some understanding. Listen to me, for I have important things to tell you. Everything I say is right, for I speak the truth and detest every kind of deception. My advice is wholesome. There's nothing devious or crooked in it. My words are plain to anyone with understanding, clear to those with knowledge. Choose my instruction rather than silver and knowledge rather than pure gold, for wisdom is far more valuable than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with it. And so my question this morning, I think it's worth asking. What do we desire as individuals? What do we desire as individuals, and what do we desire culturally as Christians in America, in the world? If it's not wisdom, if it's not wisdom, I think we're settling for less than what Christ had promised us when he died on the cross and he rose again from the grave. In him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So in the time that I have spent preparing this sermon with Holy Spirit, with Jesus, there are a few important ideas I'm inclined to highlight for us this morning, but I can't do that until we read the next two verses. All right, these next two verses are key, and then we can talk about where we're going in this sermon and what Holy Spirit is trying to speak to us through Colossians chapter 2. So we pick it up in verse 6. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thanksgiving, with thankfulness. So what are we focused on this morning in light of what we just read? Three things. Since the gospel, right? We read the gospel story of Jesus Christ. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. We hear the gospel. Since the gospel centers in Christ and Christ's lordship, the phrase that we just read, Christ Jesus as your Lord, can serve as an effective encapsulation of gospel tradition. So all that is to say, what's the fancy language there? We get to live into the tradition of Christ. We get to live into the tradition of Christ. Accepting Jesus as Lord requires believers to live into this tradition. So if you have made the public declaration of faith in Jesus Christ, there is a requirement of you, and that is to live into this tradition. No ifs, ands, or buts. We must, if we've declared him as Lord, live into this tradition. And thirdly, the tradition of Jesus is inclusive. It's not an exclusive group, so don't think, oh, well, if I say yes to this, then my friends can't come along because I know what they've done. If I say yes to this, my family can't come along because I know what they've done. If I say, well, man, I'm pretty bad too. Well, I don't know if I can. No, it's inclusive. The tradition of Jesus is inclusive, available to all, and it makes us fully alive. Christ Jesus is Lord. That's the tradition. Accepting Jesus as Lord, we must live into it. The tradition is inclusive, and it makes us fully alive. Romans 11:17 says, but some of these branches from Abraham's tree, some of the people of Israel have been broken off, and us, you Gentiles, who were branches from a wild olive tree, have been grafted in. So now you also receive the blessing God has promised Abraham and his children, sharing in the rich nourishment from the root of God's special olive tree. What does that mean? Christ is the root, so we're looking at a special tree. Loaded with different types of fruit, or we can say people from different tribes and nations and tongues. And I did a simple Google search here. I was like, are there limitations to grafting? At my parents' house, they have a tree with six different types of apples. It's fairly new. We got it, shout out to True Value, right? We went down there and we saw an apple tree that had Braeburn and John Alicious and all these different types of trees, six different kinds. And I was like, well, grafting is a really, really cool thing. And I get how this kind of goes along with Romans 11, right? The Hebrew people, the tree was of God, the roots of God, the tree of life sort of a thing. And as Gentiles, we've been grafted in. It's like an apple, right? But what about the oranges and the olives and stuff like that? So there are limitations. The fruits need a really good grafter. You need to be in the same sort of family because the roots of the original tree have soil preferences. So if you graft olives onto an orange tree, or if you try and graft avocados on certain things, certain combinations won't work. The roots have preferences. But I was thinking, can I make the correlation? Jesus Christ being the root? We can do whatever we want to. We can have an avocado, olive, orange, citrus, grapefruit tree. I think that's kind of what we've got here in the Christian faith, right? It reminds me of John 15, ultimately. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. With Christ as our root, there are no limitations. With Christ as our root, there are no limitations. So again, the tradition of Jesus is inclusive. When Jesus is our Lord, we get to live into the tradition. And there are no ifs, ands, or buts. And we must abide in him in order to bear fruit, in order to live a rich and full life. For now, we move on to verses 8 through 10. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body, so you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. Unfortunately, not everything we discuss in church can be easy. And here Paul is highlighting three specific worldly challenges that come into opposition with the lordship of Christ: philosophy, human nonsense, and spiritual powers of this world. There they are, empty philosophies, specifically high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and spiritual powers of this world. And so we want to break down each of these things and hold them up to Christ and compare them, looking at the Christ lens and looking at the world lens, saying, how do these things compare and how do we refute these things to give Christ our lordship? The first thing is philosophy. And when I was thinking about this morning, I don't know how many of you know this, I graduated from Cal Poly with my bachelor's degree in philosophy. And so when I read this passage, I was like, okay, cool. I'm gonna talk about David Hume and Francis Bacon and Friedrich Nietzsche, God is dead, and get really philosophical. But then I went to the Word, and instead of boring you with philosophy, as Paul warns us not to do, we open the Bible up to Acts 17. Paul visited Athens, right? Paul visited Athens. He spent time in the Western philosophical Mecca. And here's what scripture tells us about his visit, and then we'll pick it up in verse 22. Paul saw idols, right? Imagine all that you've read about in ancient Greece. He saw idols, of which he was deeply troubled. He tried to reason with the Jews and God-fearing Gentiles there who put idols before the one true God. We think Greek mythology and their gods. He debated Epicurean and Stoic philosophers. I learned about Epicurean and Stoic philosophers at Cal Poly. I was like, really? Like, this is happening? This is legit? I wish I could have gone back to Cal Poly and talked to some professors about this stuff. He evangelized to those people. He shared the gospel with philosophers. And I'm going to tell you right now, looking back, there is some Paulian and Christian ideas that are circulating in the early Western philosophical thought that was published. God is faithful. Paul was invited to the Areopagus, a council where philosophers and decision makers would meet and make decisions on democracy, education, and more. And this was a huge deal. He was invited to come and speak there. And so we pick it up. We're going to refute philosophy right now in Jesus' name. Empty philosophies. Some philosophy can be good. We pick it up in Acts 17, verse 22. So Paul, standing before the council, addressed them as follows. Men of Athens, I noticed that you are very religious in every way, for as I was walking along and saw your many shrines, and one of your altars had this inscription on it: to an unknown God. This God, whom you worship without knowing, is the one I'm telling you about. He is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples, and human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything. He sacrifices every need. These are smart people. These are smart people, right? But Paul's preaching truth. From one man, he created all nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Though he is not far from any one of us, for in him We live and move and exist, as some of your own poets have said. We are his offspring. And since this is true, we shouldn't think of God as an idol designed by craftsmen from gold or silver or stone. God overlooked people's ignorance about these things in earlier times, but now he commands everyone everywhere to repent of their sins and turn to him. For he has set a day for judging the world with justice by the man he has appointed. And he proved to everyone who this is by raising him from the dead. And when they heard this, when they heard Paul speak about the resurrection of the dead, some laughed in contempt, but others said, and God bless these people. We want to hear more about this later. And that ended Paul's discussion with them, but some joined him and became believers. Among them were Dionysus, which we can read more about. Just simple Google search, look up Dionysus, a member of the council, a woman named Demarius, which you can hear more about, and others with them. By the grace of God, these people went on to serve the Lord and to serve in ministry and to share Jesus' church throughout those areas. So Paul proves in the scope of tradition, philosophy cannot compare to the gospel of Christ when we hold those two together. Philosophy cannot compare to the tradition of Christ, the good news of Christ. In the same way that philosophy tries to shape culture by creating new traditions through new ideas, the message of Christ as Lord and Savior succeeds as it creates culture and tradition. In other words, philosophy cannot do what Jesus does. Human nonsense. This one was tricky, but I decided to dive into the Greek to see exactly how the scriptures employ the English word nonsense in the New Living Translation, or empty deceit as the English Standard Version translates it. It's kenos apate, those two Greek words. Kenos meaning empty, apate meaning deception. And we only see this usage of language two other times in the New Testament. And I think that this is profound, what we're about to uncover here. Two other times, where are they? When the women went to the tomb to see that Jesus was not there, and they went back to testify to their Christian brothers to say, it's empty, he did it. Like the angel came and the whole thing, and you guys need to come and see it. Luke 24, 11 says, but the story sounded like nonsense to the men. It sounded like empty deception. So they didn't believe it. Thank goodness the story doesn't end there. They did find out Jesus had more grace than to not reveal himself to them, but you know, it sounds like empty nonsense, so we don't need to go check it out. Peter went, but the others didn't. It sounded like nonsense. Kenos apate. 1 Corinthians 1, 23. Paul's reminding the church of something really important. So when we preach that Christ was crucified, again, has to do with the resurrection, the lordship of Christ, the Jews are offended and the Gentiles say it's all nonsense. So my question this morning is, do we want to be a Christian people who live in kenos apate? Do we want to live thinking and being critical of everything? Hey, that's empty deceit. That's nonsense. I don't want to be that kind of a Christian. Do you want to be that kind of a Christian? No. Human nonsense avoids the truth of who Jesus is. Human nonsense avoids the truth of who Jesus is. And the third thing, spiritual powers of this world. Elemental spiritual forces translates to stoicheia. In Hellenistic thought, this took on a mythological meaning. And they would employ stoicheia to be the animator of life. We've talked about this concept in church before. Sin, principalities of darkness, rulers of this world, that's the stoicheia animating and bringing things to life, bringing destruction and causing chaos. To make this idea simpler than it is, we go back to last week where Pastor Vasquez was bringing the word in Colossians 1, 15 through 20. We have to remember that Christ is above all, Christ is supreme, and he came to have first place in everything. And so the stoicheia, while the ancient Hebrew people would have believed that this is a true thing, and I still think that many Christians today believe that there are animating principalities of darkness in the world today. Do you agree with that? Amen? There are principalities of darkness. We are reminded in Scripture, we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but the principalities and the rulers of darkness. And so to combat that, we have to remember Christ is above all. As one commentary puts it, the apostolic gospel proclaims that the cosmic Christ, who is above everything, sets believers free from any spiritual powers that may exist. Thus, the competing gospel is nothing more than a shadow. Reality is found in Christ alone. Paul is convinced that these powers pose no threat to those in Christ. Everything in creation originated in his creative power and is subject to his authority. And so we say, spiritual powers of this world do not compare to the authority of Jesus's reign. And so when we look at those three things that Paul is talking about and asking us to be weary of, to avoid, to be careful of, we look at them one more time. Philosophy cannot do what Jesus does. Human nonsense avoids the truth of who Jesus is. And spiritual powers of this world did not compare to the authority of Jesus's reign. And again, we revisit the scripture in verse 6. Just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. We don't need microscopes, we don't need telescopes, and we don't need horoscopes. It's very simple. Christ is Lord. Follow him. We don't need philosophy, we don't need nonsense, we don't need spiritual powers. So what are we celebrating this morning, Pastor Nick? This thing right here, baptism. Baptism is the new circumcision. If we know anything about circumcision in the Old Testament, it was this exclusive thing. It's a label God asked Abraham and the Abrahamic tradition to take on circumcision as a way to say, I am a member of God's family. And today, in the same way, we celebrate baptism. Verse 11 through 13. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins and because of your sinful nature. Was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all sins. Amen. Because Christ is worthy of having first place in our lives, and some of us can testify to that today, we celebrate baptism and we publicly proclaim our faith. Where circumcision functioned as a procedure that would label Hebrew men as chosen of Yahweh, baptism now functions as a more inclusive label to say anyone can come to the water, young, old, it doesn't matter. The infants are, that's kind of a parent decision thing, but young and old, it doesn't matter. Come to the water and say, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. And I'll say this. I didn't want to say this morning because it's really putting it out there, but for those of you who have been baptized, this is not for you. For those of you who have not yet been baptized, but you claim Jesus is Lord, I'm not calling you out. I'm just saying, what are you waiting for? I'm not going to look at anyone. I'm closing my eyes on purpose. This isn't an indictment. This isn't an accusation. It's just, do you understand how good he is? There's nothing special about the water. There's nothing special about the process except for we believe that God is in it. He has ordained it to be a holy moment to say, this is my child in whom I am well pleased. When you come out of the water, there is new life. You leave the old behind. And you take on the new clothing of Christ. You put Christ on and you live your life in a new and powerful way. And so this morning, if you didn't sign up for baptisms, you still have a chance. You still have a choice. You can come to the water. We can get you a t-shirt. We can get you a towel and everything like that. I would just pray that you wouldn't take that decision lightly. It's an important decision. But I just say without looking at any of my problems, what are you
waiting for?
For real. It's a beautiful thing. And I promise you, just like we did dedications, once we see you do that, you're not alone. You're with us. It's not a cult. It's not religion. It's following Jesus. It's an individual relationship. We don't get more money because you get baptized. We don't get something out of it. You get something out of it. You get relationship with Christ and we get to spur you along in the faith. What are you waiting for? We have an opportunity to bear witness to this means of grace this morning. But Pastor Nick, why should I get baptized? Why? Here's the why. There's new life in the atonement and prevenient grace. If you want to live into this tradition, you need to make him Lord. If you want to make him Lord, you should publicly proclaim that. It's not anything to be ashamed of, I promise you. Colossians 2, 14 through 15 says this. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Why, Pastor Nick? Because his blood is an atoning sacrifice, plain and simple. Back in the day, in the early biblical times, you would go to an altar and you would lay one hand on the altar, one hand on your sacrifice, and you would pray your sins into that animal, right? And then you would do something, and then there'd be blood, and then it would die. You do something to the animal, it caused harm to it. There are kids here. We don't have to do that anymore. We don't have to do that anymore. Christ took on the sin of the world. I know, some of you are laughing. It's not really funny. It's kind of sad. Not enough to make you a vegetarian, but whatever. So why? His blood is an atoning sacrifice. We don't have to do that anymore. And because of prevenient grace. What is prevenient grace? I'm going to have Brother Travis make his way forward as I talk about prevenient grace. He's got a poem for us. But this is what the Nazarene Articles of Faith say, number 11. We believe that the grace of God through Jesus Christ is freely bestowed upon all people, enabling all who will turn from sin to righteousness, believe on Jesus Christ for pardon and cleansing from sin, and follow good works, pleasing and acceptable in his sight. And so I want to say this. With the context of Colossians 2. Allow your roots to grow deep in Christ, because only then will we live into the tradition of Christ, which disarms philosophy, it disarms human nonsense, and it disarms the spiritual rulers and authorities. In other words, we want to live within the happy thoughts of Christ. May Christ, who is the embodiment of wisdom, continue to shape us into his image. Our joy comes from the Lord. And Travis is going to speak right now about our joy with his poem, Happy Thoughts.
All right. Thank you, Nick. Good morning, church family. Can you hear me? I hope. I'm so glad to be here with you this morning. I missed last Sunday, and it was a disappointment. This is a poem about happy thoughts. I hope that you're happy. I'm so happy to be here. The happiest place on earth for me is where my Lord would have me be. And the happiest thing that I can do is what my Lord has called me to. The happiest song I'll ever sing is sweet praises to Christ, my Lord and King. For he has made happy the path I now take. So I must make happy the others for his sake. The happiest sight my eyes shall ever see is his image reflected in thee, my church family. The happiest sound with which I shall ever be blessed. Well done, my son. Now take thy rest. Amen. Thank you, folks. Amen. Good morning.
I just want to pray for us this morning. We're gonna begin and we're gonna continue in our celebration this morning. We're gonna baptize. We're going to baptize people. We're going to sing some worship songs while we do that. But I just want to pray for us. And will we just receive what the Lord has for us this morning? Open our hands up to the heavens. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, that we get to live into your tradition. God, the headlines of this month and of this year and of tomorrow. God, we want to replace those things with the happy thoughts of Jesus Christ. we have been made whole and we get to live into that tradition. And so God, we invite you in. We say, have your way in us, move through us. I just pray for those people this morning who are thinking about committing to you, God. Doesn't have to be baptism this morning, God. It could just be a simple prayer at the end of service. Whatever that looks like for people, Lord Jesus, I just pray that they would choose you, put you first, and to surrender those things of this world that give no life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're a member of baptisms, you can come on up and we'll start the celebration. We'll continue.
All right, well, this is always one of the most fun things that we get to do. We have a number of actually our youngers that have signed up, and they are so excited to be out in front of you. I think they're already changing their order and lineup because that's what they do. Again, as Pastor Nick called out, if you want to get baptized, come on down here, find Joanna. She will give you a giant hug. And this is something we are so excited. We get to share and celebrate together as we build the calendar. We pick these weekends where we know this is going to be Celebration Sunday. And so, again, your job is to celebrate. So I'd like to invite the ones who've already signed up. But again, if you want to get on over here, jump in, we will take care of you. But I want to invite, I believe we have mostly all girls, come on up here. If you guys give them a round of applause. Come on over right about here, and you guys can be in a line, and I'm going to have the pleasure of introducing you guys and then allowing you, go ahead, just go this way. Perfect. You're good. Perfect. Great. So I'm going to introduce you and allow each and every one of you, you have a card that you have written. So here's how it's going to work. You're going to say your name. You can then read your card. And then over here, it's slightly dangerous, but pretty awesome. We have some nails that you can actually take what you've written and you get to actually place it onto the cross. And so we're going to go through each and every one. He's going to have a chance to share and to read. And then we all will walk down together. And then we will one by one jump into the pool and congregation. Your job is to go crazy when they come up, each and every one of them. All right. So starting off, who do we got? I'll read it for you, but you do have to say your name. Who do we have?
Madeline.
Can I read it for you? Perfect. Madeline is ready for God to live in my heart and knows that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died for our sins and that he has conquered death for everyone. Yes. You can go place that right over there on the cross. All right, and who do we have?
London.
Go for it.
I want to be baptized because I have been going to youth group for a couple of months now, and now I know who God is, and now I can feel him in my life. That's why I have made the decision to give my life to God.
Amen. Amen. All right, you can go place it right over there. All right, and your name?
Hallie.
Hallie, go for it.
I'm starting a new chapter in my life. I'm going to college. It is my first time not attending a Christian school, and I want to take the next step in my faith by getting baptized.
Amen. All right, and your name?
Emma.
Go for it, Emma.
I want to be baptized because I want to grow and feel closer to God. I'm ready to give my life to him.
Amen. Amen. All right. And your name?
Claire,
I'm going to read for you. I want to be baptized because I want to be one of God's daughters. God loves me and I am his, and I am his. Jesus is the greatest gift for me because he forgives all my sins and makes me a new person. Thank you, God. And your name?
Maddie.
Go ahead, Maddie.
I want to be baptized because going to youth group has changed my perspective of God and has helped me become a better person, and for that, I'm ready to give my life to him.
Amen. Amen. All right, go place yours on there, and then congregation, can we extend a hand? We're going to pray for all of them together before we walk down and get to jump in there. So if you would extend a hand as we remember our baptism this morning. God, thank you that you have given us this sacrament, that God, you have given us this opportunity as a chance to be able to make a public declaration of the work that's going on in each and every one of our lives. God, we thank you for these young women. We thank you for these daughters that you have entered into their life. God, we pray that we would be a church that comes alongside them, that unites with them, that sees them as sisters in Christ. God, may today be a special day, but the beginning of many days where we live into this reality of being yours. God, help us to live our lives fully alive for you. Jesus Christ, it's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, you guys can walk down the stairs. I'll meet you right down there.
My old